warmest of festive greetings to you, and welcome to Happily Ever Teaching, where we help you enthrall your learners in every subject under the sun using the best teaching method known to science, storytelling. To do this, we feature special guest educators who are passionately keen for your children to become amazing and successful human beings. Today, we're exploring personal, social, health, and economic education with a Christmas folktale from the Bible lands themselves. I am storyteller Chip Cahoon, and with me today is...
I'm Bex, and I'm a Key Stage 2 teacher from a 2 form entry primary school in Cambridgeshire, and I also help with initial teacher training as well.
Hi, I'm Rob. I'm also a Key Stage 2 teacher, and I've worked with Year 5 and 6, as well as Year 4 and Year 3.
Abby Marison, I'm Education Programme Manager at Festival Bridge.
And we're all very pleased to have you, our listener, joining us for our virtual Christmas party! Yay for Christmas!
Woo! Hooray! We love Christmas!
So for all the fun and effectiveness of story-led learning, let's don our finest Christmas jumpers, sprinkle some elf dust, and hang tight to our sleigh reins as we dive into this week's story. Have you ever wondered how Father Christmas manages to deliver presents to good children all over the world, even places that are too hot for reindeer? Well, Elsie, the little camel, certainly could not tell you, as Mummy and Daddy Camel would definitely put her on the naughty list. For example, when given the job of taking some wise men across the desert for an important birthday, she can't help but get distracted. So Mummy, Daddy, Grandpa and Grandma Camel each took a wise man onto their saddles. Elsie was left to pick up the presents. All 12 of them. They were heavy! Elsie could feel her hump getting squashed by the straps holding the bags of gifts against her sides, and her hooves made deep prints in the sand as they began to cross the desert. And of course, it was hot and dry and dusty, so Elsie was sweating and panting and...
Oh, look, cactus!
The moment she saw that cactus, she ran up to it and inspected it and sniffed it, while the other camels kept on going. And if you and your young learners want to see if Elsie ever makes it across the desert with her precious cargo, you can download our sister podcast, Fables and Fairy Tales, or search our website, epictales.co.uk, for Come On Little Camel. There you can stream a video of me telling the story for your children. And if you sign up as an Epic Educator, you can also get a copy as an ebook or paperback illustrated by the remarkable Corky Paul, download the full audiobook anytime, and even pick up some tips for telling the story yourself. Right now, though, let's begin our discussion with everyone here by asking, folks, did you enjoy this? Oh, look, cactus!
Oh, it just reminded me of my Labrador whenever we go out for a walk, that stopping and sniffing. I just had this vision of this camel being exactly like my golden Labrador, just stopping and having to sniff every cactus.
That's basically what a camel is, a Labrador with a hump. And did you enjoy the tale?
Oh, it was so sweet. It was lovely. Yeah, it's always nice to hear lots of different versions of the traditional Christmas story, isn't it, from different perspectives. It's not the first one I've heard, but it's the first one I've heard with a camel as the main character.
How about you, Bex?
I obviously really, really enjoyed it. I love Christmas and I love the Christmas story. So, and I love different spins on it, particularly like as soon as I started reading it, I was like, oh, I know how this is going to end. I know what she's going to do. I know that she's going to be one of our heroes of the story. So I really, really enjoyed it. But I always hope that she didn't get too close to the cactus, so she didn't get like needles on her nose.
Yeah.
That's what I was worried about.
And Rob?
I really liked it as well. I like the fact that, it, like we said, it's a different take on the Christmas story and you see it from a different point of view. Obviously we know what happens at the end of the story, but just to see it through another viewpoint was good.
Well, you say you think you know how it's going to end, and obviously there are certain very let's call them canonical elements to the nativity story. But this, I really wanted to show the Middle Eastern interpretation of Christmas. And I mean, that means there are more than three wise men. That means that you don't have the shepherds when you arrive because they're long gone by now. So did it present you with any surprises other than the occasional cactus needle?
The fact there were elephants in the story, I was like, oh, that's not normal.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact there were more than three wise men as well, it was like, we're so used to hearing the fact that there's only three. And then to, again, see it from a different viewpoint, it's like, oh, okay, there probably were more.
And I think that's a huge opportunity with this particular story, is being able to use it as a tool for all the different understandings that the young people and their families would have at home from their own cultural background. Because I know that if you read about the Christmas story in the Bible, for instance, it does talk about the Magi. So it does talk about so you know, the origins for Chip's take on this is actually correct. There weren't three wise men, but it has become a very Western tradition that there were three. Mm. So it's really brilliant to think about other things from, if you were perhaps a Jew or if you were a Muslim, how you might take the birth of Jesus or how you might take the story in a new understanding again. So it's that being really multicultural, really understanding that everyone has a different viewpoint, including the camel, including anyone else as well.
And none of them are, you know, more right than any others. They're all just as valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bex, you look like you wanted to jump in on the PSHE points.
No, I was just really interested in the discussion. Sometimes you just sit back and just think, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I was going to talk about the lobster from Love Actually and saying that you can have any type of animal you want in the Christmas story as long as you can kind of chisel them in a little bit.
Yeah, because where was the lobster? Because
I don't know. Well, I mean,
there was a scorpion in this story, so
I completely forgot about the lobster. I'm so sorry, folks.
Yeah, that's honestly what I was thinking as I was reading this when I was thinking about scorpions and a lobster.
I forgot the chickens as well. I remember really distinctly when I was in primary school, my part in the nativity play was a chicken, and I had to go on and peck up some seeds at some point. I have no idea why.
No, and every year we force children to do this, like to be, you know, the different, like you were saying, Abby, the different main character in the story that's not Jesus, but obviously so that you can make it applicable for all of those families and children that are involved in your school. So we've got a bird that's going to find the baby Jesus this year in our Christmas production. Hooray!
Let's take this opportunity actually also to point out that this is our Christmas episode. So we're having a bit of a Christmas party going on here. I've actually got some homemade mulled wine with me right here, which could turn me into a very interesting podcast host by the time we get to the end of the recording.
Great.
And Bex, you were sharing with us some of the Christmas decorations you've, got for yourself at least.
Yes. I've got these very, very festive. I'm sad none of you can see them, but they're amazing Christmas tree glasses. You can't really see out of them very well, so I tend not to wear them too much in school. And then some great little antlers.
Which look to us rather like daggers stuck into your head. I don't know whether it's just the perils of video conferencing.
Maybe. Maybe I need a white background, yes. But I've also got fairy lights on, but no one can see them. But just so you know, to go Christmassy. Going to take these off, can't see anymore.
So, got the fairy lights, got the antlers, got the glasses. What PSHE have you got?
Well, through my very Christmassy glasses, I could spot these two great opportunities for PSHE that I think could be used across the school. Mm. I think at Christmas, it's a real time that we draw our schools together. So, great opportunities to be doing things that are similar in all of our classes. And so, I was thinking that our little camel in the story is quite an unlikely heroine. And I think you could link that all into like some of the RE that we're going to be talking about later in the week. And so she's quite an unlikely hero because she's the one that's always late. She's the one that's always last. She's the one that's always distracted. Mm. And actually, she's the one in the end that gets to deliver all the presents to all of the other people's and all of the other children in the Middle East for the rest of time, it seems. Mm-hmm. And she never, you know, she can never get old anymore because she's Magic. Oh, I'm thinking she's a magic camel now.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you've got that realisation, because there was a part of me getting to the end of this story the first time thinking, is this really a reward to be given a job of going around delivering presents? But yeah, if it comes with eternal youth, then...
Yeah. And I think she felt extremely special.
I think she did too.
Because she was chosen. So I was thinking about, there's so many unlikely heroes that we could look at as part of our PHSCE sessions, mm-hmm. like loads of local heroes. So again, linking it back to the pandemic and all those people that we forgot how important their jobs were. So we could be thinking back to that and just looking at unlikely heroes. And also linked to kind of the unlikely heroes and the fact that she was an unlikely hero, all of that about actually what do we do when we get distracted? Thinking that would be a really good set of lessons for our children, particularly in the build up to Christmas. Everybody's distracted by the sparkles and the Christmas trees and the excitement. Just thinking about what do you do if you're getting distracted? Because Elsie knows that cactuses distract her, but what has she done to think about how can I deal with that if I do get distracted by a cactus? Because there's quite a lot in the desert. So I was just thinking about techniques for learning about what we get distracted by and how we can not be as distracted. Because I always get distracted by the fridge. Like if I'm doing work from home, always the fridge distracts me because there's food in there that I want to eat. But actually, if I move myself further away from the fridge, it's more difficult to get there. So like sharing some of those things with children and just the way that we can understand that we do get distracted by things, but then what do we do about it? And particularly like in classrooms, we know there's kids that annoy each other and children that aren't good mixes together, but actually helping them to give them a little toolkit of things they could do if they're distracted.
Well, Bex, shall I admit that I've eaten all the mince pies that I did have?
Oh, no. Did you get distracted?
A little bit. Yeah, there were mince pies, but they were all gone.
That's why I didn't buy any Christmas food for this, because I knew I'd just be chomping it and wouldn't ever be able to.
Yeah, that was why.
Ever have anything to say.
So you knew that would distract you. So you.
I did.
And you can make this really purposeful as well, can't you? Because if Elsie is going to be doing this really important job for Mary for however long, for the rest of time, she is going to have to conquer that problem of getting distracted. Because, I mean, I think according to the Bible, you can be forgiven something like 77 times. So she's got 77 Christmases to get it right, hasn't she?
You could start there with, we talk often, don't we, on this podcast about the power of storytelling, where the children put themselves in a character's place and then feel safer to then look at themselves.
So we
could start off with that discussion of, okay, she's getting distracted by cactuses. What could she do? How could you help, like being an agony aunt, perhaps further up the school? I'm a camel, I'm struggling to be because I'm constantly distracted by cactuses. What should I do? And the children can like... and talk back to her. But you can start off with Elsie's problem is cactuses, what's yours?
Completely agree. You could use that really bespokely if you did have a child who was really finding it hard to listen to the teacher or something, to actually just then use that particular story to help address that.
Have like little what would Elsie badges or what would Elsie do badges.
It ties in nicely with one of the things I picked up as well, managing distractions. I wrote down, I was like, oh, yeah, well, Bex, you've covered it there perfectly. But I would have done it more like a circle time where you go, okay, we know that we've all got distractions, whether it's the fridge, whether it's the sport that's on TV, whatever it is. But how do we manage ourselves to make sure we don't become taken away from the main task that we've got? And so, like, it's quite a, like an honest circle. What are you distracted by and how can you make sure that you avoid those distractions?
Just out of curiosity, would you do like a strengthening exercise by actually putting a fridge or a cactus or something in your classroom and saying, okay, well, we've talked about avoiding distractions, now we've got to put some of that into practice and not go anywhere near this cactus / fridge / sparkly lights or whatever it is?
I probably wouldn't put a fridge in, but I would take from what the children said to me and go, okay, well, let's see if we've got any of those things already in the classroom, or if it's something we can bring in easily, then let's bring some of that in and go, but you're not allowed near that until you've completed the task or you've done at least 7 questions or something like that.
Gotcha. And Abby?
I think there's a nice opportunity for either a display or an actual cactus in the classroom, where you put post-it notes probably the adult doing this because of how prickly it's going to be, and actually pin them to the spikes on the cactus going, okay, we know these are our issues. And then you can refer to it if you know a child is doing those niggly little things, or if they're clicking their pen, or if they're doing something that's stopping them from concentrating on their work that they know is an issue. You can just point to the cactus and it's okay. Yeah. Let's use this as our reminder tool for how we have to refocus.
And maybe also as a scoreboard. So every single time you manage to overcome a distraction, you can actually put a post-it note on the cactus. It could even be one of your ways of overcoming a distraction, to sort of write down, okay, I know that thing over there is distracting me, write it down, put it on the cactus, right, I've put it to one side now. Kind of like what some cultures have as the practice of burning or setting fire to your troubles, your memories that you want to get rid of, so something like that. Did you have anything else to add, Abby, on the PSHE front?
Yeah, PSHE. So I took a slightly different approach to this with this story. And I think this story really lends itself beautifully because of some of the language that it uses to do this with younger children. So early years and key stage one, really focusing on the phrase chin up. And, chin up, Elsie, chin up, Elsie. And actually, what phrases do people use with you? So actually giving them that vocabulary and exploring that, and giving a lot of scaffolding around, other ways you can say to someone to perk up or whatever, and you could draw out ones that they've never heard of, ones that maybe they use with friends and family. And I had this visual image of a camel family tree on a display board. So you've got grandma camel, granddad camel, cousin camel, and actually exploring some of the feelings and emotions that are shared in the story. So, there were a couple of times in the story, right at the beginning and then towards the end, where the camels are very stern and they're very angry, and actually use this camel family tree to explore, well, who are you today? Are you granddad camel? Are you feeling a bit angry and a bit... Or are you mummy camel and you're very generous and very... Because quite often, particularly since the pandemic, young people are encouraged to really talk about how they're feeling and this is really good practice for children and adults, actually, just to say, today's not a great day and I'm feeling like this, but I know I'm still going to get on with what I need to get on with. But bringing that well-being to the fore with this particular story and giving them an opportunity to say, this is just where I am today, so that everyone knows it, and using this story to explore some of those feelings that are perfectly fine to have.
Yeah, so kind of like turning the family tree into an emotion map.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Something that just popped into my head from what Bex has just shared about Elsie as the heroine is, if you wanted to link music making into this, you could think of the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and actually have Elsie the something camel and what would fit in there, and actually try and make a whole song putting Elsie in that space of that song. Yeah.
Love it.
And that really actually fits with your own idea as well, doesn't it? About thinking about how you would describe the emotions or the personalities of these characters.
But it depends if Elsie has a prominent feature like a red nose. Could it be Elsie the green-eared camel, or how, where would the children take that?
So you'd still keep it physical rather
and then make that the distinct thing about Elsie, so that you could really tell that when all the camels are being seen in the desert, you can see which one's the one going to be having the presents delivering.
I think Elsie's only real distinguishing quality is that she keeps being the one who gets all of the baggage. So, I don't know, Elsie the... Cacti munching. Yeah, that works too.
Like holes in her nose or something from the needles.
Yeah.
Keeps poking her nose in them.
But I can just feel a little dizzy coming on.
Yeah.
So I picked up, I think with the year 5 and 6 children, the upper end of Key Stage 2, you wouldn't have to... You could identify almost the what things can you hear in the story, and the ones I picked up were perseverance and gratitude. And again, what I would probably do is do it maybe over a couple of mornings, but just a circle and go, okay, we're going to think about this part of the story where Elsie's shown perseverance. She's kept on going. She hasn't gone, oh, here's a cactus, it looks really tasty, I'm just going to stop. She's kept on going. And then, again, reflects back to things that the children have done to show perseverance, or how they could show perseverance in the classroom. And again, coming up to Christmas time, we're thinking about gratitude, we're thinking about thanking people, we're thinking about feeling really special and happy. Mary in the story said, oh, Elsie, you've bought the gifts, thank you, you're the one. How can the children show gratitude to each other? Which ways do we show gratitude to each other, and how could we find different ways of doing that? And maybe not just within like Upper Key Stage 2, but how could you show the younger children gratitude as well? So kind of get them really to reflect on themselves.
That's all we have time for today, folks. If you try out any of these ideas, or if you'd like us to help you teach a topic you are soon to cover with your young learners, let us know on social media using @teachhappily, or leave us a review using your favourite podcast app. Please also share this podcast with your colleagues and help us start a story-led revolution in classrooms around the world, so children everywhere can enjoy effective and lifelong learning. Tomorrow, Elsie will help us teach English, but right now it only remains for us to say cheerio, and we hope to hear your story soon. So,
cheerio, and we hope to hear your story soon.